Welcome to this week's edition of Brews and Crews. I am your host, Chris Jacobson, and today I am with a local business owner, Andre Klinecki. Welcome to the podcast.
Oh, thanks for having me.
You're welcome. And you have requested a bourbon, and you said you don't even care what bourbon we have.
Yes.
So I kind of picked out one of my favorites that I've had before, which is Long Branch by Wild Turkey. And if I remember right, I think Matthew McConaughey is like an endorser of it, or it's his bourbon. For whatever reason, though, I like it. I think it's smooth. So you wanted some ice, so I got ice for you. I'm going to just go straight up with mine. So if you want to grab your glass, you can grab your glass.
Sure.
And put how much ice you want in yours. There you go. It's already pretty chilled, too, so it'll be nice and cold. Perfect. Cheers.
Cheers.
You ever had this one?
No, I have not.
No, it's just a pretty smooth one. And I absolutely I like it. My buddy and I, we polished off one. Oh, you know Matt Golden.
Not quite as harsh as the regular Wild Turkey, I think.
So. Oh, no, not even close. Yep. There's something with it. I don't know if it's a rye or not. I don't think it is, but it just goes down way smoother. But my buddy and I, we polished off one on Christmas Eve about 2 years ago when we were racing around with some RC cars. So.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, Andre, you're a local business owner here of a well-established place in Winona called the Black Horse, which I have represented on my shirt. You have represented on your hat tonight as well.
Yep.
So how do you, where do you decide, hey, I'm going to get into the restaurant game, and not only that, I'm going to take over a long-standing local restaurant in town here?
Oh, really, it happened by accident.
It happened by accident.
Yeah, it was nothing that I was really interested in at all. I've always worked in the service industry since I was 14. I'm 39 now, so 25 years now. But I got laid off from a full-time job filling vending machines. And I was working part-time when Bill Kozlowski took the place back over. Helped him out on weekends. I got laid off from my job, and I just never left. And about 2 years later, he wanted to retire and gave me a shot at it. So he gave me an option to lease it for a couple of years, and I took that and decided I liked it and kept going with it.
So you just, it just kind of accidentally fell into your lap.
Really? I mean, it could have been, it was just timing.
Yeah, and he, you said that he had it sold once prior to that?
He did sell that, in 2000, and then on a contract for deed, and then he ended up out of it at about the 2010, that owner that he sold it to got out, and he ended up getting everything back, the place back, and then he worked for about 4 years before he decided to sell it again, and he gave me the shot at it.
Sure. So then you took over, and now you're on the smart side of the bar, they say.
Yeah.
Which is behind it instead of on the other side. What part of it do you love the most? Is it do you serve food or cook? Because I know we had to reschedule this because you said one of your cooks didn't come, you was sick or something.
Yeah. Yep,
so, I mean, you got to be a jack of all trades, it sounds like, for one.
Yeah, we got to work every position in the business if you're going to do it. I've done everything from dishwashing, bussing tables all the way on up from cooking. I mean, I never learned to bartend up until 12 years ago, so it was kind of something you learned as you went. I was always in the kitchen, any other kitchen job that I ever had, and I still enjoy it. I still do work shifts in the kitchen, and I got a good crew there, and I enjoy working there. I think the main thing is most of the stuff is I like just being there, and like the difference in every day. You know, most jobs, you know, you go to work and you do the same thing every day. I like to change it up every day, different customers, different things. It's not the same thing over and over.
Sure. And what's your favorite part? Do you like the bartending portion? Do you like cooking, dishwashing even maybe?
No, not the dishwashing so much, but probably as equal as I like the cooking and the bartending just as much. Serving tables as a server, I still do it, but I grown away from it, and
sure,
less steps when you're a bartender than there is a server. So,
well, yeah, and you don't have to run all around, but you're a very personable person, and I notice whenever I come in there, because I come in there quite often, especially in the winter months, I'm in there more often than not. So I always notice you are always talking to everyone. You're always helping out whoever needs help with something. And usually you have a good bar staff there the last couple of years. Every time we go in, they know us by name. And yeah. I know you have your regulars too, because I see them posted all over Facebook. And I'm like, yeah. Yep, they are Black Horse regulars.
Yeah, we got a great group of regulars, neighbors, people from Winona, even people from out of Winona. Then they, every time they come to town, they make it, can be contractors, you name it. I mean, sure. they just pass every place up and they go straight there because they like it. So
what do they say that they like? Do they ever tell you, hey, this is why we keep coming back? Is there one specific thing?
My staff is really a big part of it.
Okay.
I mean, they are very likable staff. We have I think one of the better staffs that we've ever had right now, especially. Okay. Everybody likes it. Everybody gets along. Very, very little drama, which is impressive in that industry. Everybody just puts their effort into it, work into it, but very, very minimal problems. And people, you can tense that vibe when you walk into a place if there's some, you know, sure. people are getting along, everything's meshing and not. So, okay. And that makes a difference a lot on how people perceive your business as well, too, is how your employees are in the business as
yeah.
well.
So. Do you have, is it usually a certain age that comes and works with you? Is it usually college kids, or is it more people that are out of college or middle age?
I would say it's about half college, half local.
Half local, okay.
Yeah, so mostly your students, you know, some of the bartenders and servers, you know, they work here for a few years, then they graduate, then they move on. It seems like you rotate into another group. But mm-hmm. then I have guys like Chris that have been there in the kitchen.
Yep.
He's been with me for 9 years, you know, and, you know, I couldn't do it without him kind of guy.
Yeah, he comes out and he talks to people. Oh, he has no problem coming out of the back and saying hi, and everyone knows him too.
Yep, he's very well known, and people go there just because he's the cook there too. So,
really? You know, that's awesome.
Yep. I couldn't do it without him. I have other staff members. My wife, she's been there helping for 5 years plus now. So, you know, and I still even have old employees when they come to town, they go, hey, can I pick up a shift? You know, it'd be nice to see all the regulars, you know, and I still get that even once in a while.
So. Do you let them come back
in? Absolutely.
If they want to? That's cool.
Yeah, some of them are some of my regulars' favorite employees that I've had, you know.
So, nice.
Yeah.
That's a really cool feeling to know that if someone's back maybe for a little while, they ask if I can pick up a shift. That must mean that they obviously enjoyed working for you or working there at least.
Yeah.
So that's cool. And then not only do you have the restaurant side of things, you have the entertainment side of things, which you've had everything from bands to wrestling to midget wrestling to isn't there been Men of the Night or something like that?
Oh, yes, we had male dance reviews.
Yes, perfect.
And we just had micro dancers here about 2 weeks ago.
So how'd that go, by the way?
That was first event. Didn't know what to expect. Came in. There was a Sunday night. But ended up selling 150 tickets to the event.
That's pretty good.
And for something that I gambled on a Sunday night, it worked out great. And it was interesting. Wasn't my cup of tea as a viewer. But obviously there was others that thought different. So they showed up, bought the tickets, and, you know, it was great.
A Sunday night, 150 tickets were sold.
Yeah.
And so was this full nudity or?
No,
dancers.
Well, in Minnesota, you can't call them strippers. You got to call them dancers.
Correct. Okay.
Because, you know, and for one, and I don't think it ever went, I don't think there was any skin other than maybe a bikini worn in there, and that was about it.
Okay. So. What do they do? Do they have, like, just songs that they all dance to choreographed?
They did. There was one that was actually, to start the show, as a stand-up comedian.
Really?
Yep, so that was pretty good starter to the show. And then on the stage, they brought their own little platform with maybe a half a stripper pole coming out of the bottom of it, you know. And they were using that to dance around. And
sure.
Traditional lap dances are usually done in a chair or in a seat. Well, they made the guys that bought them lay on the floor. So that was a little different. But yeah, overall, entertaining for most. I could handle about 10 minutes at a crack and then leave for about a half hour and come back and watch 10 more minutes, but that was about as far as I went with that.
Sure.
But overall, I mean, you know, if it's brings in business, it brings in business, I guess.
Is there one thing, one event that you do that just draws more people? Is it a band? Is it the wrestling, midget wrestling? I mean, when I went to the midget wrestling, and that's why I ask about that, it was sold out. And granted, the ring is slightly smaller, so you could have a few more rows of chairs, but it was packed.
Yep. We had consistently, I do that event twice a year. We had 340 tickets sold for one show.
Whoa, for the midget wrestling?
For one show, that was the biggest. Otherwise, it averages between 250 and 300 generally.
Wow.
And that's my number one most popular event. And it's actually really interesting because the crowd that generates isn't necessarily so much from Winona. I bet you there's maybe 40 people I recognize from Winona. The rest is people that travel from outside of town for that event, which is crazy. But it's, they sell all the tickets. I don't get any of the ticket sales. I just get the food and beverage.
Okay.
Sales, you know,
it's a good, and well, then, if you got that many people coming in, your kitchen's got to be just plumb full of food and drinks going on.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, it's busy. Not everybody eats, but they all drink.
Yeah.
But, you know, the other thing is I have to book them their hotel rooms.
Okay.
So I put them up at Super 8.
Yep.
They asked for four hotel rooms last time, and I said they only need three if they slept sideways.
Oh, man. Did they think that was as funny as I just did?
Yeah, they laughed. But,
oh, yeah. But you got to laugh at yourself, though, when you're doing that kind of stuff. And I remember there was a guy, we did midget bowling during our actually regular.
Bad Boy Brian, I remember.
Yeah. And he loved it. He was oiling himself up, tossing down the lane, but he just took it all in. I mean, when you're that size, that's just, you know, you can make some money off of it and just let it happen, I guess.
He still does that events. He did the wrestling. He came down and filled in one show when I had Tavern 129 downtown when I had an event there.
Okay.
He actually wrestled. He doesn't do that anymore, he said. But I ran into him. He works at the Frontenac gas station.
Really?
Brian does, yeah. So, and I asked him, he says he still does mini kiss, and he still does the midget bowling. So I said, well, I'll keep that in mind in case I need an event coming up. So
that's been your most popular I suppose. I mean, you don't see that every day.
No.
Because I remember wrestling when I first, that's how you and me first met, really, was me wrestling back here. And I know that we had actually gone to high school together, which I didn't even realize that until I looked at my yearbook one time. You were a senior when I was a freshman.
Okay.
And I'm like, oh, wait, that's Andre. I didn't know that we were that close in age because, I mean, you were a senior and I was a freshman.
Sure.
And I don't think the seniors are talking to the freshmen that often. But
I didn't go to school very often either, so.
Maybe that's why we missed each other. Right. So, yeah, I mean, we first met from me wrestling. And I remember the first time I came back I was coming from Georgia just to come back and wrestle a show. And, man, we had that thing packed all the way up in the balcony area, and you had to stand, and it was so cool.
Yeah.
And I don't know what's gone with wrestling, if it's just kind of I mean, the last time there was a show there, I think there was like 40 people counted, or 50 people.
I've kind of straight away, I mean, about once every year now I've been doing maybe one show just to kind of get it back dried out. But it went from, a ticket sale to now we pay them and then we keep whatever. But it just wasn't, last couple of shows just didn't pan out as well. And so I was taking money out of pocket to pay for it. So I just said, well, we'll just kind of keep it farther in between then. And
yeah, and they sometimes say the less you do things, the more people want to come back.
I mean, trust me, I'd love to do that midget wrestling 8 times a year if I could, but I know that would wear its welcome out. So you know, it's just keep it at 2 times a year, pack the house those 2 nights a year and go with it. So
how do the bands do?
Bands are tough.
Are they?
Yeah. For one, bands now they're getting very, their prices have been over the last few years kind of been up and up and up, and less people are going to see live music unless it's like an actual concert of that band and whatnot. I've had great bands over the years. I've had great bands that just don't draw, you know?
Yep.
Sometimes the cheapest band brings more of a crowd than the more expensive bands. It's just, you never know. Usually if you get more of a local band from around the area, people know them, well, that'll bring in people. But if you bring a band in from somewhere else that nobody knows, then nobody shows up for
them.
And we're not exactly in town, you know, so you got to figure your way out there, figure your way back. You know, some people consider that if you're a drinker anyways.
Right, yeah, because, you know, I've noticed a lot less is, like, Lyft is harder to get.
Yeah.
I would, you know, sometimes if I'm going down to the brewery to play trivia, I will get a lift down there and then get a ride home from my dad or someone else that's at trivia. And I find it hard at 6:30 in the evening just to get a lift. One time it said it wasn't even available. I'm like,
that's, I've heard that from several people that will go out there. They're like, well, we don't know if we can even get a lift back.
You know, right. So yeah.
Well, I mean, there's some alternatives here in town. Some people that just do rides and
You gotta know them,
but you know, that works out that way a lot of times. Or, you know, I got a couple employees once in a while. If you're there at the end of the night, they're going that way anyways.
Sure.
You know, if they like you, you know, they ain't going to just jump in with any random guy. But, you know, they'll give you a ride home too. But, yeah, it's a different world now than it was. Just in the 10 years that I've owned the Black Horse, it's it went from that to, I mean, used to not worry about it to be packed every weekend, you know, for bands and whatnot. And now it's, well, it's a gamble every time you open the doors. So,
do you see an influx in the summer when you have sand volleyball like four nights a week? Is there an influx in business at all? Or
yeah, absolutely. I mean, volleyball really is the one thing that carries me through the summer. Your weekend business slows down a little bit in the summer. It's a very big river and camping town.
There's
a festival somewhere every weekend, so that volleyball is pretty key in the summer to kind of maintain your, you know, your business flow. You know, average between 95 and 100 some teams every year.
Sure.
This summer league Monday through Thursday, so you can't beat that, you know.
No, I know. You go there from about 5:30 till 10. Yeah. So that's pretty steady business, because you know you're going to have at least 4 on 4 times that by 4 courts, and you got steady business plus people coming to watch and then regular people coming in.
I mean, Monday, Tuesday is 32 teams a night playing. So,
that's a lot of business.
Right, so.
Is there one thing on your menu that is like the one thing that sells the best at your place? Because I know you have, I think it's the prime rib is one of your specials.
On Saturday, our prime rib, I mean, it's,
yeah,
we go through that. I mean, sometimes it's like we make extra and then we're still out by 7 o'clock, and then, you know, it's just never know. Our Friday fish fry is always huge. Every week I do a featured fish now. I do I've done rockfish, I've done grouper, we just feature a different fish every Friday now. So,
oh, cool.
So it's something different and different plated items.
One of my favorite things that you do is you do the all-you-can-eat on Vikings days, and I've come there a few times, and I'm like, I'm coming hungry. And I go there, I get my first plate and my first beer, and then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, wait, I'm very full. And then I'm like, well, wait, I got 3 more quarters to go.
Right.
And I'm still like, oh, I'm still not that hungry yet. And I'm like, I go there just thinking I'm going to just chow down on all this food, and never happens. But I love that special because I can just give out with like $26, I think it is, and it's all I can eat and drink for basically 3.5 hours.
Yeah.
That's a cool one.
It's one thing, though, that's you think you can eat all that food, and it's just nothing. I mean, there's a reason we don't sell much for dessert out there, is because our portions are so big for everything that we do out there.
I had a fish plate one time. Yeah. Just, it wasn't on Fish Fry Friday. It was just, it's like, oh, I'm going to try the fish this time. I usually do my usual boneless wings and a burger. I'm like, nah, let's go outside that. And I did get it. I'm like, ooh, that was a bigger portion I expected. Yeah. Because sometimes you go into a restaurant and you never know what to expect for portion-wise.
Right. Yeah. And not to mention we have a soup and salad bar now, too. So it's...
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, you fill up on that. I mean, everybody's taking takeout boxes home, so...
I feel like you have a different event almost every night, or at least a couple times a week, and then something on the weekend, it seems, because you have the Bargo, the adult Bargo, and that's in the winter months usually, and then you have the sand volleyball going in the summer months, and then you have bands or some sort of event, or maybe even a wedding party coming in on the weekends.
Weddings, class reunions, I mean, everything, you name it.
Just, how do you get any time off?
I do it. I got a really good staff that I can count on and not worry about if I go jet town for a couple of days.
Sure.
But yeah, it's very, man, I don't overdo it too. I don't overwhelm myself. I try to keep it simple and don't do anything that I'm not good at or decent at already, you know, or so I don't overwhelm myself.
I assume you still have some of the business that Bill had prior to that coming in still from years past.
Yeah.
Or are some of them now, because you're the owner, and since you've taken over, now these are my regulars that are starting to come in that didn't kind of flow over from the old owner.
Yeah, I definitely see, well, obviously 10 years ago to now, a very increased business and regulars. But I do still have a lot of Bill's original regulars that come in and and still a patronized place. So.
That's awesome. That's good. What was your first job?
Steak Shop Catering here in Winona.
No kidding. Yeah, they're still around, too.
Yeah, they're still around. My best friend's dad is Daryl Rydell. He owns it.
And, Yeah. And I went to high school with his daughter, too. Okay. And she was working there. If she's still, I think she might
Tiffany
still.
Is.
Yeah, yeah, she still works there. Because, we have it at St. Martin's for school.
Sure.
So they're the ones that cater in the food for the lunch program. Okay. So, yep, I'm starting to get to know all the ladies there as well because I've been there for 10 years. So my first job was at the Green Mill as a dishwasher. So I know what the dishwashing was like. And it wasn't that exciting. And bussing tables was not that thrilling. I always wanted to be a server or a bartender, but then by the time I got to that age, I was off to college, so I became a server at a restaurant down there for a year, and that was fun, but I love talking to people. That's more my thing, so I'd probably be a better bartender than anything, just gotta learn how to make all the drinks.
As long as you can talk and work at the same time.
That's true. The thing I think would be the hardest for me is remembering all the mixtures and stuff of that nature. I mean, most people that go in, I notice, they order kind of the same thing, you know, like, oh, Jack and Coke, that's pretty simple.
Yeah.
Get me a beer, this, that, but if someone comes in with this fancy drink, like some sort of martini they want, you gotta know how much to pour. So I think that would be the hardest part.
Yeah, and a lot of it's just experience over the years and learning it and doing it. I mean, there's times that I've, you know, you get on a Friday night, it's old fashioned on a Friday.
Sure.
Friday, you know, but you know, you don't get too, we don't get too many in there. And usually if it's something I can just look up quick, now with the power of smartphones, you can just be like, oh, I don't know how to make that. Well, if you got to look it up, you got all the ingredients. I'll give it a shot.
Yeah, might as well.
So that's definitely
The one thing I love is your beer selection there. I always love it because you usually always have Toppling Goliath of some sort.
Yeah.
Pseudo Sue's been there for a while. And usually always have a Surly IPA, which has been Todd the Axeman the last time I was there.
It's still there unless we rotate something else seasonal. I mean, I try to keep a seasonal one rotating all the time. I got your darks, you got your ambers, you got your cream ales, you got, you know, so it's...
How do you decide which ones to bring in? Does some sort of beer distributor come in and say, hey, I got these for this price, or do you go based off of, well, here's what I think would sell the best?
Naturally, it's not so much as the price, because I'll just adjust the price the cost of the
other
when you sell it, but it's a lot of his popularity, what people ask for, what kind of styles of beer that people drink. I mean... you know, I try to hit kind of every little corner of everything, you know, of what people like, and then you'll never get everything that everybody likes,
but
you know, you can try to get close to it or what people are. If I find a beer that's stagnant on tap, well, I'd swap that out to something else, try something different for a while.
Nice.
But so, rotate pretty well.
So now I want to transition to, you just got married. Yeah. As did I within the last, year-ish now at this point. And you had a really cool celebration at your place, at the Black Horse, on the parking lot. And you set up a tent. And the coolest thing I liked is that we got a ticket, and we could go to, like, one of, I think it was five vendors to get whatever the heck we wanted.
Yeah, we had different items to choose from. So
that was pretty fun. I liked that concept. And then going back to the bands, you had one of our local... I would say staple bands within the area, and they came in and played, and they just had Troubleshooter, that is, sorry, for those who don't know, Troubleshooter, they just had one of their final concerts.
Yep, down in Rushford, they had their last show after 40 years.
At 40 years.
Yep.
And they came and played at your wedding.
My wedding reception was one of their last shows, and...
That's pretty cool.
You know, I always thought that was a cool and something you never hear of, that band been together for 40 years. I'm not even 40 yet. I'll be 40 this year, so they've been together longer than I've been alive. The newest band member was Bruce Greenwood.
He was the newest one?
Yeah, in 1988.
Gosh, I've been playing softball against him for years.
Right, so he was the newest member, I think he said 1988. So I'm like, wow.
Holy cow.
So that's pretty impressive. But yeah, that's a band that's really going to be missed, and that's always been a band that's always drawn a crowd. I never worried about if I booked them. Never had to worry about people showing up for them because they always had a following. So
I mean, I think we got there about 6 o'clock, and I think we left at probably 11:30, and they were still going, and we had to get back home. We had a dog that was on the outs that was heading out of this world, so we had to make sure we got back for him. But it was really a fun night. And how's marriage life going, by the way?
It's no different. I just have to answer more questions now.
Okay. So, just like you're answering my questions.
Right.
Perfect.
Yeah,
so I'm like your wife right now.
No, she's a great woman. So
that's awesome.
She's very hardworking, determined, and so, you know, as you know, she's you know, in the real estate business now, so she's she's really putting her work and effort into that. So
that's good. And you, she even, I think from what I remember, she's actually advertising at your restaurant too.
Yep, so she made beer coasters with
awesome.
As her business cards, so it works out great.
It's not bad because they're always reusable too.
Right.
Yeah, and you're always looking down at it because you noticed my beer coasters right when you walked in the Brews and Crews once.
Yeah.
So you recognize that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it was a pretty smart, I was pretty impressed when she came up with that idea. I was like, wow, that's a really good idea. Yeah. I never would have thought of that. So, yep, she's always in it. She's marketing herself well, and you know, she still works at the bar, so she's still getting that communication factor and getting to know people too. So she likes to bartend a couple nights a week to, you know, she's just, that's the way she's social, gets her name out. She's not from here, so,
right,
you know, being any part of a social group, she's, you know, she joined the Rotary Club and she's, you know, does stuff with the chamber now too. So
okay. Well, that's good then. And how did you meet her? Did you meet her at work or?
I met her through one of my employees' friends. She was a friend of one of my employees.
Okay.
Probably about 5 years ago and stuff. And it was before COVID or right before COVID. And,
normal times? Yeah.
Yeah. And kind of when COVID shut down, we kind of spent a lot of time together.
Sure.
Know? And then just kind of one thing led to another, and there we are.
So. Yeah. Well, that was one thing about your restaurant is during COVID times, you were doing all this takeout.
Yeah.
I remember my wife and I, we would come there and get it all the time because we're like, well, Andre's still open. And I'm like, I'm supporting a local business because they're open. And I just kind of know your thoughts on things in the world too. So
right.
I would like to support a local business when I possibly can. And it's actually opened my eyes up now with me doing real estate as well. And everyone else, you kind of realize, hey, I want to support those who are local more so than a franchise. Like, you're going to support a franchise probably more times than you know. Like, you're going to go through a drive-through McDonald's here and there probably when you're on the road or something. But I'm like, when I can support someone local, that's what I absolutely love to do.
I love like to do my shopping, like, for anything, even for the bar and stuff, as local as I can.
So, yeah.
You know, like,
are you able to?
Well, a lot of our stuff, so like even through our some of our food reps and stuff, even the meat was with like comes from farms within 100 miles.
Sure.
So you know it's a local thing. I even do some local shopping. You know, I go to the farmers markets on Saturdays once in a while and get some fresh produce and whatnot. So, you know, I try to stay as much as I can local. You're not going to get everything local, but you know, and so that's one thing that I like to stay as true as I can. I mean, it's not possible to do it all the way, but
no, yeah, and you gotta look at price too, otherwise it won't make sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was one thing I remember. I think we would come like twice a week to get takeout because you were still open, and it was just like that was such a weird time.
It was.
I don't know. I mean, how did it affect you and your business during COVID?
It was rough, but
pretty bad, or you kind of were hanging on because you were doing all the takeout.
I was hanging on, but takeout was just a band-aid. It was kind of just enough to kind of keep the employees happy with, people were tipping very generously at that time.
Yeah, I remember doing that too.
So, you know, there was a specific guy that came up to me. It was like right before Christmas and I brought some food out. It was maybe $50 worth of food that I brought to his vehicle. He handed me an envelope with the money in it and he goes, well, I want you and your son to have a good Christmas. And I opened up the envelope and there was $200 in there.
Jeez.
So, I mean, it was kind of
$150 tip,
right? So just because of people were rallying around that, but yeah, that was a real tough time. I mean, I was down to $5 left in my checking account at one time.
Ooh.
I mean, and then we got to open 2 days later.
Okay,
that's how close it was.
Holy cow!
I had emptied out my retirement plans and everything just to keep it afloat. And
oh man!
And a couple of the grants I had just basically paid my Excel bill.
How'd you decide, like, hey, I'm gonna keep going?
I don't know. I was looking for other jobs.
I was
at that point. I mean, when I was down there, I was starting to look for like a bartending job in Florida on a beach somewhere.
Yeah, you know, I mean, they were open.
They were open, so I was like, maybe I just do that. Maybe I don't have to own anything anymore and just go work my hours and get paid and go home. But
I know everyone was thinking goofy at that time.
Yeah.
I mean,
you had nothing but time to sit in there and think.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, the crazy thing is a lot of people say, like, we were sitting around doing nothing. I'm like, the people I know were still out hustling and working like you.
Yeah.
And I was still teaching.
Yeah.
We just had masks on.
Right.
But it happened the March, obviously, of 2020. It happened, and we were all online for the next, like, 2.5 months. But then the next fall, we went back, but we just had to have masks on was what we did.
Yeah.
So I'm like, well, I don't know what people were sitting around doing nothing for, because I remember being at work. I remember you were at work, and other people that I knew were still at work. So yeah. I was always wondering, when were people sitting around doing nothing at that point? Yeah. I do know that people did adjust their hours to make more sense, though.
Yeah.
That's one big thing I realize is because even Walmart, they used to be 24/7.
Right.
Now they're closed at like 11 and open at about 6.
I know.
So that was a big adjustment because you could walk into Walmart anytime. My dad used to love going in the middle of the night because there was nobody there except for the people stocking shelves.
Right.
So he's like, oh, it's so easy to go in, check out. Now you go in there. You usually have to go through self-checkout because there's hardly any employees working the lines, like maybe two or three open in about 20 lanes, which is weird. But everyone kind of adjusted their hours to make more sense of everything. And so I was like, I don't know when people are actually sitting around doing nothing because everyone kind of said that. But, I mean, some people probably did sit at home and collect their little check. But
an off subject to that, it was funny. I went into Quick Trip in La Crosse the other day. They have self-checkout stations now at
really?
Quick Trips.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Huh.
It's like, geez, it's going everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, well,
I have seen self-serving robots at restaurants now. Videos of them now.
Oh, I've seen the videos.
Yeah,
yes,
the videos.
I haven't seen one yet. Yes.
No, but
well, that's hilarious. And you know, I saw on Facebook someone made an event, self-checkout employee Christmas party for Walmart.
Oh yeah, I did see that one. Yeah,
that was hilarious. Like all of us that have to go self-checkout, we're gonna have ourselves a Christmas party.
Nice.
It's hilarious. So now, outside of, you know, obviously, restaurant owner, business owner, what other things do you do? Because I think you were into racing, aren't you?
I used to race, yeah. I got out of that probably about 6 years ago.
Okay.
I did enjoy it. Didn't have the time for it. I mean, it just, you know, like any hobby, costs money.
Yeah.
And then I kind of taken up a somewhat cheaper sport, and I've been playing a lot of golf.
Really?
So I've golfed probably about 40 rounds this year so far, so 18 rounds. But we got to start in February this year. The weather
was nice, yes.
So I think I had 8 rounds knocked off in February alone. So,
wow, that's probably about 30 more rounds than I got in this year.
Yeah.
And I've been golfing since I was about 3, since I could stand.
I was always kind of maybe 4 or 5 rounds a year kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
Now the last 2 years, I bought a brand new set of clubs, and now I've been getting into it, and I got to – one guy, he's retired. The other guy, he works when he wants to. So we just go like Mondays or Tuesdays, and we'll go shoot 18 somewhere.
Sure. And, you know, it seems like this podcast has become a lot of – I know a lot of people that love to golf.
Yep.
I've had probably 3 or 4 guests. That's a main topic they like to talk about. So it's actually – seems like it's a big thing around this area. And I actually have the guy coming in a couple weeks to talk about the Island City Indoor Garage.
Okay.
I don't know if you've ever been to the simulator yet.
Yep, over there. Yep.
Have you been there?
Yep, we went there last winter.
Oh. Nice. He's actually bringing me in the day before we do our episode. He's like, I didn't know you've never been to a golf simulator other than testing for clubs is all I've ever been to. I've said, no, I've never even golfed around. I had a question to a buddy of mine. I'm like, how do you putt? Like, he goes, well, you can usually set up like your gimme so far away. So if you're within this close to your, you get that putt or whatever. So I haven't been there yet, and I look forward to going there because it seems like a big thing that we need in the winter months, it sounds like.
Yeah, it works. It worked out great. I think it was like, you can have 4 guys, and it's just like $60 an hour.
Yeah.
And you can usually, if you guys are good at it, you can usually muscle through 9 holes no problem with 4 guys in an hour.
Yeah, you know? And that's only $15 then.
Right. So it's, but you usually book it for a couple hours, play a hole 18, and, you
sure.
know, and it's a nice setup. I like it. And actually, it's really great because it shows like your, if you're opening the face of your club, if you're swing,
oh, really?
It shows your swing speed, it shows your angle of your club coming down and everything. So it's really it's kind of a learning. It teaches you to straighten out your swing and whatnot.
That's kind of cool. Yeah, I'm going there October 21st, and this episode will be out probably that day that I'm actually going there.
Okay.
So I'm going there. He said, come on in. He goes, you gotta try it out. And then when I'll come on the podcast, we'll talk about it. I'm like, perfect, because, again, like I said, I've only been to a simulator when I was trying to buy clubs.
Yeah.
So that's a little different than just whacking away. So I look forward to that. And some other things, where do you normally go golf around town, or do you go outside of town?
I go to Cedar Valley probably more than anywhere.
Sure.
I like the bridges too. And then actually I got a membership this year at St. Charles back in March. it was $42 for the whole year if you got it in March. So, you golfed twice and you got it paid for. So all of us did that. So we just go up there and once in a while, I think we were planning on going next Monday or something like that. So
okay. Well, my brother-in-law lives right on hole, I think it's 14, he said. And he said, we looked at the memberships one day. He's like, I think this was the year prior, $39. I go, that can't be right. $39? How do you have a membership for $39? And now you just told me it's like 42. I'm like, he's not wrong.
You pay 15 for the cart.
Yeah, so that's
all
right,
you have
yes.
to pay for, 15 for the cart when you show up there.
That's not bad.
Or if you want some beers or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a nice course too.
Yeah, I know. It's not even that bad of a course.
I actually would take it over some other courses that, you know, around here that are expensive, you know, so.
Sure.
But
I have noticed you out on the golf course with, I think you were at one of the real estate things with your wife. And I said hi to you.
Yeah.
And I didn't even know you were golfing, but you said you've taken up in the last 6 years because
it's
slightly cheaper than racing, it sounds like. Yeah. With racing, how many years did you do that for? Quite a few?
Well, I actually raced in high school.
Okay.
Too. I started racing in high school when I was like 15. Raced until I was about 19.
Sure.
And then I joined the military at that point. And then after that, I was 2014. It was the first year I raced and raced for about 5 years. So,
what'd you race?
I raced the 600 mods over at Lacrosse Speedway, MTS, Mississippi Thunder.
Is that the one where, is there like kids that do that too? I had a student.
There was the mini mods. They used to run on the inside track.
Yes, that's what it was.
We ran, our cars were slightly bigger, so they were running on a 600 GSXR engine with chain driven and only about 800 pounds of car. So we were running pretty fast.
Yeah, I've had a 600 GSXR too. I know those things are zippy little cars. Yeah, I had a student one time and I want to get him on the podcast. He raced and he was like 13 years old. And I'm like, well, you don't have to have a license to race? And they're like, no, I just go over and race. I'm like, that just seems really odd that you can be 13 and racing cars against adults.
Yeah, there was a kid in our class that was 13 and he was winning races.
Like, who was it?
It was Hunter Soseski.
Okay.
Yeah, so he was kicking all of our butts when we were all there. Me and Brad Kramer and all those guys were racing together. And yeah, and the kid didn't want to do it anymore after that year.
Really? Yeah. Well, my student, you might even know his name, Jake James.
Yeah.
His dad's Mike. And I think they both had a race.
I sponsor Jake's car.
Oh,
actually.
Well, so then you know who I'm talking about. Yeah. He was one of my students in my first years of teaching. And I'm like, you race over at Mississippi Thunder?
Yeah, he ran the mini mods with the ones you were talking about. Yep. Now he runs the stock cars. So.
Sure. That's really cool. Yeah, I just saw him a couple months ago. He was over at Two Fathoms watching Battle of the Bands.
Okay.
Because one of my other former students had a band, and he was actually on the podcast. They're called Dying Breed. Anyways, he was there, and I said, hey, I'm like, you should come on the podcast, talk about racing, whatever you like, and just what's going on with life, because I taught you. I'm like, that's kind of a neat little thing to do.
Right.
So now I know you like to go, I don't know how much you want to talk about it, but I know your favorite vacation spot, I feel, is you like to go to Vegas quite often.
Yeah, not so much the last few years, but I was at one time. I'd go like every couple months I'd go and whatnot. I bet you I've only been there once this year.
Well, that's good.
Yeah,
would you go there for?
Me and Mary might have to do that too. So, but
are you there for the gambling or is there other things that you like?
I like the gambling. I like the shows. I like they treat you pretty well as far as if you're a frequent flyer kind of, so I didn't mind that, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I saw your hotel room last
pay
time.
Pay for food and hotel rooms and stuff if you go there. You know, I had some luck probably back in like 2017 and they've treated me well ever since.
They want their money back.
Yeah,
come on out.
I'm sure they've gotten it by now, but you know. But yeah, it's a great time, but since being with Michaela, I've opened up my vacation stuff quite a bit. And I really like, she's from Washington State, so I really like going out there when we get the chance. And we're doing our honeymoon in Hawaii this winter. So
I've
never been to Hawaii. I got 3 states left, and that's one of them. So
you have 3 states left to visit? That's it?
Yeah, I got Hawaii, Oregon, and Alaska. And otherwise, I've been to every state.
Wow. Well, so Steph and I did our honeymoon on Hawaii.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Now, I'm assuming you're just going to fly there, right?
We're going to Seattle first, and we're going to the Vikings Seahawks game there, and then doing her family Christmas. And perfect. Then we're going to go from there to Hawaii.
Yes, you're going to love it. Are you going to Honolulu or are you going somewhere else?
I don't have anything set in plans. We're kind of still shopping right now, but we're going to get that. That's supposed to be something we need to get it locked down here soon. So, but we've made the location. We just got to fire the tickets off and then we're going.
Well, we did the cruise from Canada and we went down that way. So we did a 10-day or a 9-day cruise is what it was. And then we spent one day in Honolulu. And we were supposed to spend a couple days at Maui, but they had the fires at that time, so there was no ships being able to be ported there. So we had to make a couple stops in Canada, and we made one of the stops actually in Seattle. Coolest place, I thought. I thought it was so neat when I went there. Oh, yeah,
because I told you to go check out the fish market.
Yes, there. And we did. Yeah. And we saw them Pike's Place. And they had a brewery there, Pike's Brewery, and they were flinging the fish back and forth. And we thought it was just something you had to see. And then you go down by Pike's Market, and they have that red neon sign there that's always in movies that if it's ever in Seattle, I think it just says Pike's Market or something like that, or whatever it is, it's in red. You would know it if you saw it, those who were listening. You know it if you saw it. But we had to go there, and we checked out the fish place. And and they said, well, don't worry. We can ship you home a fish. I'm like, oh, cool. I don't think I want my fish shipped right now. But we're going to Hawaii. But it was Hawaii was really, really cool. I wish we had had more time. We thought maybe, like, on our 10-year anniversary, maybe we'll take a flight directly there, stay there for a week, and then come back instead of taking a cruise down. Because we stayed in Honolulu, and we stayed in the oldest hotel on the island, Moana Surfrider is what it was called.
Okay.
A little spendy. It was about $300 or $400 a night, but really cool. You walk in, everything's open. You can walk right out and out to the back to the beach, and then the beach was private for those who were staying there. So the beach wasn't crowded by any means. So we really were like, if we come back here someday, we need to save up and stay right here. Because it was in a, from what I could tell, a ritzy part of town.
Sure.
Because we walked down the street, and there was shopping literally everywhere. I mean, all of your Chanel, a Tesla dealer in a mall. It was the craziest thing. And I'm like, holy cow. I'm like, there's a Tesla dealer right here. You could buy a car right there. And then across the street, it's like Chanel, Louis Vuitton. It was just all the nicest stuff. So I'm like, well, maybe we didn't get the real feel for it, but we did go over to Pearl Harbor. So that's one thing I'd recommend, especially since you're in the military, check that out. We definitely checked that out and had a newfound respect for that whole situation, especially when you go out to that memorial. They say, you know, obviously, you know, be respectful, be quiet. And you go out there and you're expecting, like, hey, here's some talking. Almost could hear a pin drop when you go out to that memorial out there on the USS Arizona, I think it is. Yeah, you can almost hear a pin drop. Nobody's talking. So it's almost, they said it's like a gravesite, basically.
Yeah.
So that's one thing you and your wife got to check out. You'll like that.
Yeah, definitely.
So you're going to go check out the Vikings game, which that'll be fun out in Seattle. Have you ever been to Seattle's Viking game out there?
No, I've never been up to their stadium.
Because they supposedly have the loudest stadium.
Yeah, as they say, the 12th man.
The 12th man. Now, I don't get how it works because they have an open stadium.
Yep.
So I don't get how they're the loudest crowd. But I guess
they say that about Kansas City, too. So they just put the open. You'd think someplace with a roof, but man, I can't imagine. I've been to a couple Vikings games at U.S. Bank, and it gets loud in there. I mean,
yes, it does.
That ceiling on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's pretty fun stuff. So you're going to go out there, spend Christmas out there, and then you're flying over. How long are you guys going out to Hawaii for?
Hoping for a week, but we want to be back before New Year's because usually New Year's is one of my big events. So, you know, I don't have anything booked yet, but usually I have a band, and we do a dinner special, lobster tail, prime rib, stuff like that.
Sure, for New Year's Eve?
Yeah, for New Year's Eve.
Okay. So. Keep your Jan 4 open, too, because there's going to be a one-year celebration podcast right here.
All right.
And I may be asking you to get some food from you, just letting you know.
Could do that.
Because normally whenever I have parties, I'm like, we do pizza. I'm like, cause it's real easy. Yep. I'm like, I'm trying to make this a really big party, like an exclusive type. So I'm like, and you guys cater some of our food sometimes for our Landlords Association. Yep. We just did the last one, the roast beef. Those sandwiches were fantastic with the hoagies. Beef, Yeah. We had some left over, so I took a little bit home, and Steph had some. She goes, that was so good.
Yeah.
And I actually used the hoagies for a sandwich.
Yeah.
The next day, I put turkey, cheese, and spinach sandwich. I'm like, this is really good.
Yeah.
So, so what other things you got going on in life right now other than just working?
Not a whole lot. We've been working on our house, getting remodeled, and kind of flipping it around when we get time in between work and whatnot. But that's kind of our thing. I mean, we would like to live there maybe a few more years and then sell it. And we have, I've always wanted to build a shed house, you know, or a shed house or whatever.
Oh, a barnuminium?
Yeah, barnuminium.
Oh,
so
yeah, so do
I'd like to have, you know, that half my house a garage type thing, you know. So
I want 14 to 16 foot doors, though.
Right, you know, kind of like, you know, pulling in my living room. You know?
Yeah, right, so, pulling your living room. Right. I see, that's what I want. I want like 14 to 16 foot doors because of my boat.
Yeah.
I have a garage, but it's got 10 foot doors. And I have a fixed bimini top, so I can't go down.
Yeah.
And it's 12 feet tall, but then when you have the navigational light on there, it's about 12, 6, 12, 8. And so now I have to store it in Rochester, which is stupid because I want to store it here in town since I have a heated garage, but it won't fit any of the garage doors, unfortunately. So now I got to ship it over to La Crosse, and then I come back and get it in the spring when they tell me to. So a barnuminium would be sick.
Yeah, that's always been one of my goals.
You ever watch those on TikTok?
Oh, yeah. I have that feed now where it's all that thinks that's all I look at, you know, that kind of stuff.
Right. Well, you know, the one
algorithm, I guess.
The algorithm, yes. Yeah. It usually picks up on things that you're doing. Now I'm getting all these things from my wife, baby names.
Because
we're going to have a baby in May. So
yeah, mine's barnuminiums and midget wrestling videos. So apparently that's all it comes out with.
That's probably good then. You got the best of both worlds. Something real big, something real small. So yeah, we're coming up on just about 50 minutes here. Anything else you want to add to the podcast?
Not right offhand here, but no.
Well, you'd be expecting a January 4th. You better put that in your date because you're already going to be back. You got an event at the Black Horse. So it's just the next weekend is all it is.
Right. We'll make it work.
Yeah. Well, so that's what we're going to do. We're going to cater some food in here and, we're going to have ourselves, I have a band coming.
Okay.
Hopefully I'm going to have this other Little Warriors drum line coming in because I talked to the guy. He wants to be on the podcast. I said, it'd be great if you came in, did like a few songs. I mean, it'd be louder than hell in here, but you know, two songs or whatever, get you know, six kids in here, do it. Band, I said, play a couple songs. And then I ask my buddy Paul, well, you know, Paul Ebner.
Yep.
I said, hey, can you set up karaoke at the end of the night for us?
Perfect.
Yeah. He's like, for you, I probably can. I'm like, perfect, because I want people to stay here.
Sure.
I'm doing giveaways and everything. There's going to be, it's kind of a scavenger hunt, quote unquote, where I'll have things hidden throughout. And if you find one, you get the prize that it matches up with. Giveaways every so often, swag bags for everyone that's been on the podcast. So I'm trying to get it where it'll obviously be the guest and then a significant other / wife / whoever, I guess.
Sure.
So I'm hoping to have maybe 80 to 100 people here by that time. So there's only about 8 more slots I got to fill before the end of the year, and then year one's up.
Nice.
And it's been fun.
Went pretty quick.
It did.
Yeah.
I was just saying,
I feel like you just started it like a few months ago.
I feel like that too.
So.
And every time I'm sitting there thinking, I'm like, man, you know, sometimes I'm like, well, am I going to be able to have someone this week? And all of a sudden I have two or three. I'm like, oh, that was easy. Okay, cool. Now I'm good for like a couple of weeks and I can kind of relax. But one thing I miss though is when I have like two of them already in the pipeline, I'm like, oh, I kind of miss editing things. It's kind of becoming a little hobby because, well, it is a hobby, but I'm not making any money. But then also doing some of the artwork on Canva is so addicting.
Oh, sure.
I mean, it's basically digital art is what it is, and I love doing that. I don't know if you have worked with Canva
really
at all,
much.
But
no.
It's addicting because I do it for real estate too,
and
then I do it for the podcast. So I'm always sitting there tinkering around with a bunch of different things and trying to make things look professional, and you can order things from there as well. So
Nice.
I've been working with that and making just logos, and I think I'm going to freshen up this logo maybe possibly in the near future too, because it's kind of going away from the beer theme that I thought it was going to be.
Oh, sure.
So it'll always be Brews and Crews. I just think I'm going to go maybe away from the beer logo in the middle.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a lot of people are bourbon.
Yeah.
Anytime I get a guy on, I would say it's 50-50. It's either going to be beer or bourbon.
No, bourbon's a huge thing. I mean, I've been starting a collection at the bar alone just because of all the requests and stuff. So,
what's one of your favorites that you have then?
Oh, one of my favorites. I'm a big Blanton's guy. I like Blanton's a lot.
I had that on episode 2.
Oh, actually, funny story about that. So out of my wedding out in Washington back in June, one of the guys that's friends with came out to the wedding, Jordan Dreyer. He came out to the wedding, and we're sitting in the bar there, and he goes, "Hey, get yourself a drink." And that was because I was thinking about just having, you know, like a bullet on the rocks. He goes, "Get the good stuff." He says, "Do you want Blanton's? Get some Blanton's up there." And I go, "Okay, well, I got Blanton's, the special reserve. The green label one, you know, $300 a bottle."
Oh, I don't have that one.
No, I don't either, but he says, "I don't care, just get whatever you want," and thinking, you know, maybe it'd be like a $40 drink or whatever. So I got there, he gets the bill. All I hear is, $93 effing.
He goes, for the pour?
Yeah, for the pour, one
Holy
pour.
Cow. So
he goes, "Hope you enjoy your wedding gift."
That was it?
Yeah.
Was it?
But now, thanks, Jordan.
The question for you, could you actually tell the difference, though, between regular Blanton's and
yeah,
that?
You could. It was a little more... You could tell there's a little smoothness to it.
Sure.
And definitely had the taste to it, the smoke oak taste to it. So it was good.
Have you ever had a buddy of mine got me onto this mezcal? It's like a type of tequila.
Tequila?
Yeah.
I tried it, actually. It's different.
It's got it. Well, it's got the smoky flavor.
Yeah.
That's how that came to my mind.
Right. So that was a different taste that I'm used to at tequila, you know, just a regular out of a bottle, but that mezcal,
yeah,
it was different, and I'm still not to this day sure if I like it or not. You know, like it's kind of like one of those. Okay, it's tequila, but it tastes different.
Yes,
you know,
it's got a smoky flavor,
right?
And there's I hate tequila usually. Patron, disgusting in my mind.
Yep,
but people are like, "Oh, that's top shelf Patron." No. I'm like, "No, it's not actually. It's not that great." No. But mezcal, I had some of that. I bought. It was like this. It was a black, like a matte black bottle. I got it from MGM, I believe, is where I found it. And then the Rocks tequila is actually pretty good.
Okay.
To tie it back to wrestling a little bit. The Rocks Terramana.
Terramana, I think it was.
I like that one. There's like 3 different bottles you can buy.
I got one at the bar, I think.
Do you?
Yeah.
A lot of people like Casamigos.
Casamigos.
I hear that one a
it's
lot.
It's okay. Yeah.
But so you like Blanton's? That's a big one for you,
yep,
then.
Yep.
If you're gonna do it.
If I drink tequila, it's usually Don Julio Reposado. That's, you know, like a little bit.
Have you had the 1492?
Yes, I have.
Okay, my buddy Justin, he's been on the podcast a few times. He was like, "That I want some of that, but it's hard to find."
Yeah, it's you have to. It's weird. It's like just like some of the bourbons now. I mean, it's all allocated.
Sure.
So, you know, certain people get it first, and if there's anything left, you might get one bottle.
Yeah.
You know.
I noticed.
But, you know, it's not a cheap tequila either. But I have that issue right now with I couldn't get Buffalo Trace for like a year, and now I got a case of it. So because one of the reps goes, "Hey, I got Buffalo Trace. You want it?" Or, you know, I got a couple of the bourbons that I can't get until they do it, you know. So,
well, I had that problem. The guys that were on here, they were a band, Dying Breed. I was telling you about them. One of them requested, because I always ask, "What do you want to drink?" Like I asked you, and they said, "Well, Buffalo Trace." I'm like, "Oh, yeah, I know that. My buddy Josh Harrison has it all the time at his house. How hard could it be to get? Go to every store almost in town." I'm like, "Nobody has it."
No, we couldn't get it for like a year.
Yeah.
I know that.
And Fifth Street Liquor had one. And I call him up, like, "Hey, do you have this?" And I knew the girl working. And she goes, "Yeah, but it's being held for someone." I'm like, "Oh, crap." I'm like, "Okay. Any chance I can buy it?" Because I'm like, "I can buy it right now." He goes, "Let me see if they want it." She called. They didn't respond. And she goes, "I'll just sell it to you." I'm like, "Perfect. Thank you very much. I appreciate that so much." Next week, Fremling, you know, Chris Fremling,
yep,
calls me. He's like, "Hey, I got some Buffalo Trace in stock right now. You want one?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'll take one." And then I told the people that, because I knew the people that were wanting the other one.
Yeah.
I contacted him. I go, hey, go over to MGM right now. They have some for you. And I go, thank you for letting me buy that from you, even if you didn't know that was me. I go, they got some over there. He goes, thanks, appreciate it. And he went over and I think probably snagged the bottle. So when you're not looking for it, it's available.
Right.
When you're looking for it, hard. You can't never find it.
That's everything, you know, in life.
I know. Because then I had my buddy Josh just last week. He was, I think it was last weekend or weekend before. He was out of town in Wisconsin somewhere. Sends me a Snapchat, a whole row of Buffalo Trace for $31 instead of $40. And he's like, it was just available. So I don't know what it is with it. It's not my favorite bourbon, but I know it's highly sought after for whatever reason. I mean, I would prefer this one, to be honest with you, over Buffalo Trace.
Yeah.
There's some other good ones that I've had, too, within... I always try to get some, like, Minnesota-style ones that are not just specifically from maybe Kentucky or wherever they might be from. I always try to get something from maybe in the state somewhere, if possible. Have you gone down to the distillery in La Crosse?
Yes, I've been down there.
Have you tried any of their stuff?
I've had their vodkas. That's about all I tried there, but...
Okay.
I think more or less went there just for some light appetizers and stuff. You know,
yeah. So. One of their, the things that I really like is their rock and rye bourbon. That's really good. Yeah. It's very smooth, smoother than this. And I could just drink that straight up without even being chilled, really. Yeah. It's just that good. And then if you mix it in with something, it's pretty smooth, too. So that's another thing to try is going down there if you like to sip on some bourbons or even vodkas. I don't know many people that sip on vodka usually,
I always say vodka is pretty much vodka if you're mixing it.
You know,
if you're drinking it straight, yeah, there's a little difference, but
get that Ciroc with Diddy.
Yeah, no.
Might have a little baby oil in that.
Bottle slippery.
Well, I guess that's where we're going to end it then.
Okay.
For those who are in Winona, you need to check out the Black Horse if you've never been there. If you're from Winona, you probably know what the Black Horse is because it's just, I don't know, it's a staple in Winona. Everyone knows it. It's just slightly outside of town in Homer.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like 2 miles away.
Miles south on 61.
Yeah. Miles south on 61 on the way to La Crosse. So check it out. Fish Fry Fridays, that sounds like it's a big one. And your prime rib sounds like it's a big one on Saturdays. And then, hey, during the Vikings games, go on over and eat all you can for $26, or at least try to eat all you can without throwing up first.
Great.
I want to thank Andre for coming in here because he had, with a restaurant, you never know what your day is going to be. Yeah. I was like, I hope he doesn't cancel on me today because I really have this little block of time laid out for him. And if someone calls in, you know, as a restaurant owner, that's just what happens.
It is what it is. You got to be ready for variable change at any time.
So. That's right. So I'm glad that you were able to come in here. I'm assuming maybe you're going to work next.
Going back to work, actually.
Going back to work. Yep. Perfect. Well, anyways, thank you, Andre, for making some time for me on the Brews and Crews podcast. And for those who are listening, you can tune in every single Monday, find a new episode. If you want to watch us and see our beautiful mugs on there, check out YouTube. You can watch the episodes. Otherwise, any streaming platform, I am out there. Pandora is now a new one that I just got onto. Apple, Spotify, you name it, I'm out there. But again, thank you, Andre. And I'm going to give him a big cheers.
Cheers.
This has been another episode of Brews and Crews. We'll see you next week.